Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 15th year. This week, the GGB Podcast sits down with Josh Swissman, a partner with a strategy organization and a former marketing executive with major gaming companies, about how casinos have to shift their strategies to bring players back after the COVID-19 pandemic. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the affiliate marketing site players trust when deciding where to gamble online. For information on how your online or social casino, sportsbook, or poker room can get involved, visit iGamingPlayer.com. As casinos begin to reopen following at least 2 months of closures due to COVID-19, how are they going to bring back their loyal customers and what messages will resonate? Josh Swissman, a former corporate marketing executive with MGM Resorts and Station Casinos and other companies, now a partner with the strategy organization, says campaigns are going to have to emphasize health and safety, but also stresses that the fun factor should not be ignored. Casinos will also be seen as a way to escape the realities of the new normal, and the messages delivered by casinos need to be focused and consistent to stay true with the brand. Swissman spoke with me at the GGB offices in Las Vegas in May. Josh Swissman, thanks for joining us today on the podcast. And first of all, I want to thank you for helping us out with the Gaming in Crisis webinar a few weeks ago, which has kind of inspired me to invite you here for the podcast. You had some really great comments, really insightful ideas about how to reopen. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Roger. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, you know, every time I talk to somebody during this time, we talk about these unprecedented event, which is definitely something nobody's ever seen. I've been in gaming for over 40 years, and I've never seen it. So it is unprecedented. But that means we're going to have some sort of unprecedented marketing to come out of this. You know, what do you believe will be some of the messages that casinos are going to have to convey to get customers back in their properties?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think there are going to be three really important concepts, and this goes up and down the spectrum, whether we're talking about value or local-driven properties all the way up to luxury strip properties. Three important concepts that we're going to need to weave into every casino's brand positioning and messaging, and that is, number one is the notion of an escape or you know, a getaway. The second one is the notion of value, and the third is the notion of health and safety and sanitation.
Right.
I think those will be critical. It's interesting, those, if you think about you know, your favorite casino resort, you don't necessarily think about all three of those brand positioning sort of statements,
right,
or thoughts. So properties will really have to be thoughtful about integrating all three of those in, mm-hmm, a way that makes sense and is on brand for them. It'll,
right,
be challenging, but I know that there are ways to do,
sure,
it. I have faith.
Well, I would imagine the health and safety would be almost at the top of that list, at least, you know, initially when the place is first open. There, people are going to want to understand and feel safe and that their health won't be threatened by coming into a property.
Categorically, health and safety should be at the top of everyone's list because it's at the top of our customers' list,
sure,
of what they're looking out for.
So I always thought there was a little bit of a marketing possibility here. I mean, if you have to wear a mask to go into a casino, how about wearing a branded mask? You know,
I don't disagree. In fact, I saw not all that long ago a couple of emails for companies that are already starting to capitalize on that,
right,
putting together,
yeah,
or selling branded masks. And look, they're a part of our day-to-day life for the foreseeable future, so you might as well have fun with it. I agree with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people are fearful about going outside, even now that the lockdowns are starting to melt away. How do you get them to feel comfortable coming to a casino then?
Yeah, that is a big question, and there's not a single answer to that question. It's really, I think it's going to be different for everyone. Simply put, I think people will get over their fear of going out in public when they feel it's safe to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people will want to wait for a vaccine until they arrive at that conclusion. Some will wait for guidelines from local or state government before they arrive at that conclusion. If you take a look at what we in the hospitality and travel industry actually have control over, I think it comes down to two factors. One, how safe will people feel when they step back into a casino, a hotel room, a restaurant, and so on? And how safe will people feel when they're traveling on an airplane to the extent that they're not within driving distance of a casino?
Right,
those, those are two big factors that we have ultimate control over.
So I'm wondering who the casinos are really going to target when they first come back. I mean, I've read some of the tribal casinos are going to actually do invite-only sessions for their best players.
And, I saw that.
Of course, tribal members and things like that. When I was talking to Chairwoman Morgan from the Nevada Gaming Control Board, she said it won't work. You know, we have when we open up a casino, it has to be open to everybody. So,
yeah.
So who do you think, you know, let's start with the commercial casinos first, should target when they first come back?
So, first of all, I think they should target everyone. Mm-hmm. I think that marketers ought to work with their analytics teams to figure out how to cast as wide a net as possible. That said, you can't do all that at once. You're going to have, no matter what jurisdiction you're talking about, you're going to have reduced capacity there. So you have to be thoughtful about how you segment that now big database and how you stepwise issue that message out to the different populations. So I think first things first, properties are going to want to target their best guests first. Mm-hmm. And they should, right?
Sure,
it makes
right.
sense. And I'm not just talking about the biggest, highest rollers, of course, although they should definitely target that segment first. But I'm talking about the ones that are there frequently, that are engaged, that have a connection with the brand and a connection with the property. They should really target those folks first as well. I think it would be perceived as a slight if they waited to talk to that really, those fanatics
those frequent players.
That said, when you get past those best guests and those most frequent guests and those most engaged guests, I think this is where the message really shifts. You look at the folks that are perhaps a little bit more hesitant or came a little less frequently before, or maybe even were a declining population before. I think that the tone there has to take on, or certainly the content has to take on, a bit more of an educational kind of focus to really, really, really reinforce all of the different protocols that have been put in place around sanitation and safety and the like, and social distancing. So cast a wide message, talk to as many people as possible, but really tailor your message and fine-tune your message based on the historical characteristics of the population.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a lot of the players who come to casinos they come because they have a relationship with some of the employees, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, you're going to be wearing masks now, or in some jurisdictions they're putting up plexiglass shields. I mean, how hard is it going to be to get the players to, you know, get that personal interaction that they really enjoy?
I am convinced that you can see someone smile through a mask.
Yeah.
I am convinced of it. I've seen it.
Okay.
I've experienced it. So I know it's possible. On top of that, I think guest service was always important.
Mm-hmm.
Guest service becomes supremely important right now. And the ability to welcome guests in these uncertain times, and guests will certainly be uncertain when they walk through the doors for the very first time. To the extent that they're met with a warm greeting and a smile through that mask and a helpful hand 6 feet away, they will begin to feel more comfortable. They'll begin to enjoy themselves more. They'll begin to loosen up more. And if you think about what assets and amenities will be available to people when doors open again, based on everything that that I've read and that I've seen published, there are going to be a lot of fun things that are going to be available to people when doors open in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
As I said before, with the getaway and the notion of escape, some people will find and they'll take great joy in staying in a hotel room. I know I've done that, and really don't need to do much else. So that'll be fun for folks. I think hanging out by a resort pool, even if you have to be 6 feet away from everything, everyone else. I think that'll be fun for people. Enjoying some of your favorite food from your favorite restaurant in your favorite casino will be fun. You might have to get it to go, or you might have to go at different hours than you you might be used to, but that'll be fun. And obviously the gaming experience itself is going to be fun. So properties and gaming companies really need to focus on playing up the fun aspects that do exist in the casinos. I know there are going to be a lot of things that aren't going to be available, and we certainly need to be thoughtful about that, but we don't need to dwell on it, particularly when we're talking to the guests.
So you've had some experience with Station Casinos, a locals casino operator in Las Vegas. A lot of the early casinos that are opening up are tribal casinos, which are essentially locals casinos as well. Do you think they're going to be a little more successful in the beginning just because people want to come back to their friendly place, basically?
Sure. And I think you just – all you have to do is just look at history and math to tell you that, right? What I say – what I mean when I say history is – The frequency of visitation in those types of facilities, the local casinos and the tribal casinos, frequency is much higher than what typically occurs on the Strip. And so that muscle memory is still there, right? People are itching to get back to their favorite casinos for whatever reason. And so for that reason, I think you'll see local casinos bounce back more quickly and tribal casinos bounce back more quickly. The math part of it is they're simply closer to a large part of their customer base. And it's just – it's going to be easier for them to get back to those casinos. There's no advanced planning required with the booking of airlines and hotel rooms and things like that. So I do think that those will be some of the first to return. And for the ones that have opened already, we've seen some great visitation statistics just in the few weeks that a handful of them have been open. So that – helps make me feel a little bit more bullish about, you know, those early days.
I was just reading about the Deadwood casinos today about how, you know, they opened over the weekend and they had 15% more business than they usually had on a regular weekend.
So, and that's with half the capacity in terms of gaming positions.
So that does give me some enthusiasm that things will start over.
Agreed.
So how much in comps are casinos going to need be expected to give, you know, to get the people back? I mean, they're going to, you know, there are a lot of savvy players out there.
Right. This is the part where all the CFOs need to cover their ears. I'm just joking. I do think, though, that the business is going to need to be jump-started. So there is going to be some additional reinvestment or added comps that that will have to be issued. That said, though, I think that there are many ways to do that without eroding profit, without creating a race to the bottom, and without getting overly expensive. So I hope that the marketers that are listening to this podcast and around the country, I hope that they're able to take that approach of a more sort of profit-driven increase in reinvestment so that overall and long-term their businesses can remain healthy.
So maybe discounted room rates rather than free play, that kind of thing?
That is one way to think about it, yes. And if you think about a dollar in comp expense, certain comp expense is more expensive, if you will, than others, right? There's a higher cost to that dollar in comp in area A versus area B.
So how important are casino hosts going to be? I mean, again, the personal relationship that they've developed with their players has kind of been cut off during this time. So how are they going to get these players back?
Look, I'm born and raised in this town. I grew up in Vegas, and casino hosts have always been and will always be a critical component to the business. There's not a marketing campaign out there. There's never been a monthly promotion created that delivers the level of personalization and the level of high-touch marketing that a casino host should be doing. So they'll be around for a long time to come.
Great. A lot of Facebook casino players sites, and they all think that the casinos are going to tighten the slots up when they open up. And I'm trying to argue just the opposite. Of course, they're not going to alter the slot payoff no matter what, but they're not going to change the slot payoff, are they?
Going back to your first question, Roger, the notion of value is going to be important. And that notion ought to live beyond brand positioning or beyond a marketing campaign. People almost entirely across the country, right, their level of disposable income has been really negatively impacted.
Sure.
That's not to say that I don't think people are going to spend anymore. I think they still will. But they're going to be looking for value when they spend their money. And if you go up to a slot machine and you put in however much money you want to put into it, and it disappears within an instant,
right,
without any sort of entertainment value or any sort of joy, that doesn't feel like a value-driven experience to
right.
me. And so I would hope that casino operators take that into account and realize that time on device and being able to have a few wins under your belt as you're playing at a slot machine is what drives the experience. And I'm not saying to give away the house by any means, but consider it, look at it from a player's point of view.
Right.
And specifically, look at it from your player's current point of view, being a value-driven sort of spend that and enjoyment that they're looking for. There are ways to do that. And again, that doesn't mean that you need to decimate profit. There are ways to offer value and still
sure.
be a very profitable business.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned fun in the beginning, because that's what the casino experience has always been about. And, these last 2 months have been pretty grim. So,
yes.
So when people go back to the casino, they're going to be in this difficult environment with the plexiglass and the mask and things like that. So how do you really get that fun experience, through that veneer that we've been behind all these months?
Right. I'll say it again. It gets back to guest service and just having your team members be laser focused on delivering a great guest experience, a warm, welcome guest experience, and to approach that guest experience from the guest's standpoint. Especially in the beginning, they're going to be uncertain. This will be the first time that they've been back into a casino for many weeks, months, in
sure.
fact. And it will feel different and it will look different. And to the extent that our team members around the country are able to realize that, acknowledge that, mm-hmm. and work around that in their customer service delivery, I think we'll go a long way to promoting an environment of fun,
mm-hmm.
even if we can't be as close to each other as we used to be, even if we have, half an inch of plexiglass between
right.
us. Those are just small barriers that solid guest service can overcome,
okay.
in my opinion.
So I guess it's going to be important for casinos, when they bring back their employees, to really be a little picky and choosy about who they bring back. I mean, they're not going to bring back 100% of their employees the first day they're open, obviously. So I guess you'd recommend, looking for the best customer service employees to bring back first.
Yes, I'm sure that question is answered probably differently for each operator, and they probably have their own internal
sure.
protocols that they have to follow.
Yeah, there's going to be,
put the best team members closest to your 6 feet away, of course, but
right.
closest to your customers has always been my motto.
Right. Okay.
And the rest will work itself out.
Sure. Sure. iGamingPlayer.com was one of the first fully licensed affiliates in the New Jersey market. Through partnerships with all the major online casino, poker, and sports betting websites, iGamingPlayer has become one of the most trusted places where players visit before deciding where to gamble online. iGamingPlayer offers reviews of the online gaming sites, advice about how to play the games, odds and opinions on sports betting, and much more. Soon to be licensed in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Michigan, iGamingPlayer.com can make the difference between success and failure for new online casino, poker, or sports betting websites. For information on how to work with iGamingPlayer, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Now back to our podcast. This is kind of being looked on as an opportunity in Las Vegas and my estimation also in Atlantic City as an opportunity to kind of change the paradigm. We did a cover story in our May issue on how opportunity Las Vegas has the opportunity to go back and, you know, get rid of these resort fees, parking fees, and the high prices, and really become that value opportunity you talked about earlier.
Yes.
Do you think that's possible? I mean, it's kind of built into their business plan now, all those high prices, but do you think it's possible they can do that?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, just continuing on with that theme of value there for a second, I think that the guests will push back a lot more than they used to mm-hmm. when it comes to these ancillary fees. And it's not going to be because guests don't want to spend money. They understand that, you know, to provide the experience that Vegas provides, it's not free. But at the same time, I think that from a value-driven approach that most folks are going to be visiting Vegas with, there's going to be some pushback on these ancillary fees. And it will be interesting to see what some of the strip operators, how they react to that mm-hmm. guest behavior. With regard to the high costs, I still think, particularly, you know, when you think about hotel rooms or fancy restaurant, I still think that there's a place for that. I think that there's a significant segment of guests that enjoy a very elegant meal and are okay paying more mm-hmm. for that meal. It's part of how they enjoy Vegas.
Right.
And so I think that as long as it's a good value and there's demonstrated benefit for the guest, I still think that you know, the higher priced food and beverage and the higher priced hotel rooms will mm-hmm. will prevail. And again, value cannot be misconstrued as simply discounting and slashing prices.
Right. Okay.
It's just aligning what the guest gets with what the guest perception of cost should be.
Sure. Okay. So entertainment has always been a big part of the Vegas scene, but obviously that's going to take a hit
yes.
right at the start. I mean, I don't know if anybody's ready to go into a showroom and sit shoulder to shoulder with somebody else, you know. But I would think that maybe the lounge acts would come back a little quicker than that.
Yeah, I think Vegas is going to go a bit old school, and the industry will probably go a little old school there for the short term. The lounge type acts, you know, you think of a comedian, or
right.
you think of
mm-hmm.
you know a trio of musicians right. or something like that. Those shows are relatively simple to produce, which mm-hmm. means that staffing tied to those shows and proximity of staff to each other can be minimized pretty well. And at the same time, I think that the venues that those types of acts typically play in lend themselves well to flexible seating arrangements. I think about smaller showrooms and lounges.
Mm-hmm.
You can really rearrange the tables and the chairs there to accommodate social distancing protocols
right.
pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you think even outdoor shows, and we were just talking about downtown before we started this. I mean,
yep.
they've got those great stages downtown where you could even draw circles. Don't
you
stay
could
within your circle.
You know? Could, yeah. Some of those more fluid type mm-hmm. environments might be a little more challenging to make sure that social distancing protocols are being followed right. effectively. But I think there's certainly room for outdoor entertainment early on mm-hmm. again. We mm-hmm. just have to be very careful about the congregation of the grouping of people in the beginning.
Right. So nightclubs seem to be the ones that are going to take the longest to bounce back.
I yeah.
mean, even though the younger people are the least affected by this virus, they seem to be the most willing to get together in large groups. How do you think they're going to bounce back?
I agree with you. I think that nightclubs are further down on the list when you think about amenities that are going to open again. I've read a few different jurisdictions are looking at opening nightclubs with reduced capacity, just like restaurants and gaming floors. And that may happen. That may take place. But part of the magic of nightclubs is getting to a point of critical mass with the crowd that's in there to create the experience that nightclubs have become known for.
Sure.
So I think that that critical mass is a ways off. It just again, if you think about that fluid sort of environment of masses of people moving around and being really close to each other, it's going to be really hard to make sure that those social distancing protocols are put in place there too. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, I think that nightclubs will be later on the time horizon. And if you look at what at least the Gaming Control Board in Nevada has suggested and what some of the operators that have been very public about their reopening plans have indicated, they're thinking the same way.
Yeah, no question about that. So, you know, we just mentioned your experience with Station, but you've got a vast experience with a lot of big companies in
yes.
Vegas and beyond, and you just started this new company, the Strategy Group. Explain what that's all about and who your partners are there.
So the Strategy Organization is a modern gaming and hospitality consulting firm. It's formed with myself and two founding partners, Matthew Chilton, who's a 20-year industry veteran, someone who I've known for 30 years, and Seth Shore, again, someone who I've known for three decades and has a great pedigree in the yeah. gaming space. The three of us, the timing worked well for us. We're sort of like-minded, and we have really complementary skill sets. So the idea is that we've formed this group targeting small and mid-market casinos mm-hmm. around the country, particularly in this time of need, really right. are focused on helping them open their doors with momentum and impact. And ultimately, once those doors open, those plans are going to need to be optimized and iterated. And we're there to help
right.
on that front as well, particularly on the marketing front in areas like direct mail and promotion, mm-hmm. promotional development optimization, marketing analytics and loyalty program enhancement. We can add a lot of value there, but we also have team members that can help on gaming operations, non-gaming operations, innovation, so think sports betting, mobile sports betting and esports, human resources, finance, accounting. We really are a full-service firm, including food and beverage.
I know you've got some affiliate folks with you. I know my friend Rick Fields has been working with
yes.
you guys as
yes.
well. Rick's got some great gaming experience in Las Vegas. So you know, if he's the level of people you have bringing in, it sounds like a really high-powered company.
Yes, yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And not only is it high-powered, but most everyone on the team is someone that I've known for 10 plus years mm-hmm. as well. So right. there's a long relationship. So these are people who have been around and seen a lot
right.
and are really hardened by a lot of different economic downturns and situations throughout the
sure.
year and are happy to help.
So you wouldn't think this is a great time to launch a company, but actually it could be because, you know, I've seen a lot of the casinos, and especially the corporate level, have really stripped down, their personnel when it comes to the executives. So I guess there's going to be some need to bring somebody in like your company.
Right. And my heart goes out to those folks. A lot of them are my
sure,
friends,
right. yep.
Friends for a long time. But that said, they are going to have to learn how to do more with less. It's
mm-hmm.
it's not the first time there's been a contraction of workforce.
Sure, right.
The difference between every other time and this time is that this one, the scale is massive.
Right.
There's been
yeah.
nothing else like this in our industry. And on top of that, the level of uncertainty is equally as massive. So you have people thinking about their reopening plans and having to put three, four, and five reopening plans together to scenario plan for different occupancy levels, both in hotel towers and on the gaming floor. And it's a ton of work. And
sure,
as I think about once the doors open, and even in the weeks leading up to or months leading up to those doors opening, depending on the property, I think that there's going to be so much work to do. There just aren't going to be enough hands to do it. So if I'm thinking from an internal operator standpoint, I want to make sure that there is tremendous communication and alignment
mm-hmm.
and prioritization. That shared prioritization is going to be critical because you're not going to be able to get it all done. And if you have more prioritized than you have hands to do it.
Yep.
I think that's where a company like the strategy organization can really help. We've been there before. We've been in the trenches. We're happy to talk at a high level and strategically and provide mm-hmm. advisory type consulting services, but we're equally as happy rolling up our sleeves and getting our hands dirty and
right.
and just getting things done. That really gets my juices flowing as well.
Okay.
So that's how I see the future.
Great. So where can people learn more about the strategy organization?
So you can go to our website, which is www.thestrategyorg.com, all one word. You can look for me on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Again, my name's Josh Swissman. And don't hesitate to reach out to any of the partners on the team. You know, you talked about Rick Fields. I mentioned Matthew Chilton
right.
and Seth Shore. Any of them would be happy to talk to you about the company. And we all stand ready to help wherever we can so that we can get our business back on track and really open those doors with momentum and provide some of these great guest experiences that I've been talking about and provide some of that value, which I think is going to be critical.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us, Josh. It's been really eye-opening here, some of your ideas, and hopefully you'll get some business out of this, and casinos will benefit from your expertise.
Thank you, Roger. I really appreciate that. Thank you to everyone.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the affiliate marketing site players trust when deciding where to gamble online. For information on how your online or social casino, sportsbook, or poker room can get involved, visit iGamingPlayer.com. To learn more about how the casinos are going to respond to the COVID-19 crisis, visit GGVMagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next week on the podcast.